the scripture that I meditated on from Proverbs about the discernment. So I just want you to know that the Lord made it very clear to me that I was supposed to preach this message, and it was a very busy week for me, and I had to do everything on Friday because of the party on Saturday. So it was like a challenge for me to spend the time to receive what God had for you guys. So I give him all the glory and the honor, and I'm so excited. It's going to give you some more keys, as he gave me more keys. I'm just going to share this. Let's pray first. Father, I thank you for this congregation. I thank you for your people who are called by your name. And we do stand underneath the name of Jesus. We are under that umbrella of the name of Jesus. And Lord, I know all that you've been speaking to me for the last couple of months has been about that name and how powerful the name of Jesus is and what you have done for each one of us. So I do ask you that you will move in this congregation today and speak to them about discernment, that these words will not just fall to the ground, but they will penetrate and cut through to where the soul and spirit meets and equip your body for greater victories. In Jesus' name, amen. I was singing this morning, heaven is open, there's no ceiling. Angels descend. You know, there are four angels in the corners of this room that are here every week because I commissioned them. And because I asked for them, God, I didn't commission them, but because I asked for them many years ago, they came. They were at the retreat 1 year, and then they came back, and they are here every time we meet. So in this atmosphere, there is angelic power, and there are angels who are moving, descending and ascending. I see them a lot of times when I'm leading a worship. I see Jesus a lot of times too. And I have seen the Father. I've been caught up. That's a lot of what God has been speaking to me about worship. When David got the keys, if you read in Revelation, it says that God gave David the keys. The keys are worship. The keys are worship. Focused worship. But David also understood the times that he lived in, and he understood how to take the measure of God that he had and flood where he lived and teach and pray and bring to light the people that are around him with the presence of the king, not even really knowing Jesus, but he did know Jesus. There's no way that he could have done what he was doing without knowing Jesus. The Holy Spirit is the voice of God on the earth, so it's prophetic worship that brings the victory and the release for what it is that God wants to do. The keys to the kingdom, those are the keys. Those are the keys. Binding, loosing, overcoming, those are the keys. It's prophetic worship, because when you are worshiping God and focused on him, the more you do it and the more you concentrate and the more you focus, get rid of the clutter. This is what we've been teaching for years here. And every person that I meet, I tell them, you can hear God's voice. I did tell you about the man at the nursing home, which was very funny. And he thought I was going to shun him and tell him that he was crazy, saying that he heard from God. And I looked him in the eye and said, yeah, I hear from God too. But see, that's the key to victory, and that's the key to becoming more than a conqueror. Discernment, there's a discerning of spirits, which is one of the gifts of the Spirit that you receive when you get baptized in the Holy Ghost. You receive a gift called the discerning of spirits. There are nine of them. But the discerning of spirits is your ability to discern what is going on and who is speaking. Whether it's the Holy Spirit, 1 John 4, I've taught that. Test and try the spirits, whether they be of God. Now, if you're coming from a position of being focused and hearing God's voice, you're not going to be afraid, are you? And you're not going to be consumed with what the demons are doing, are you? No, you want to be consumed with what God is doing. But you do need to understand who it is that you're fighting, what it is, whether it's in your flesh, whether it's a demonic spirit that's trying to rob you of what God has given you, What is the word of God saying about the situation? What is God saying? What is the Spirit of the living God speaking to your heart about the situation? That's where you get the confidence. And the name of Jesus is the key. The scripture in Chronicles 12:32 says, of the sons of Issachar, men who understand the times with knowledge of what Israel should do. Now we are the New Testament Israel. We are the church that believes in the gospel and knows. They believed that Messiah was coming. And those that died believing that he was coming are going to glory. Even now, I believe, this is my belief, that there are Jews who still are practicing and waiting for their Messiah. They need the key. They need Jesus. But, you know, God is no respecter of persons. And he talks to everyone. Jesus talks to everyone. And he lets everyone know who he is, even if they don't want to hear what he has to say. So we need to be able to discern the times that we're in, and we need to be able to live and operate in the heavenly realm. And we need to not to be afraid to do that. Pastor Roy and I were infiltrating that party yesterday with the presence of the King. Uncle Steve was there too. I'm sure he was infiltrating. There was such joy in the place. It was incredible. And one of the things the Lord had given me, he's wonderful and merciful to bring books across my sight that I am able to discern what I need to know at the time. And one of the things he said was to this young lady, her name is Faith Living, believe it or not. And I love her. She has written books about rejection and identity. And they're very good. They're really good, really good. And then she has a blog. So I looked on the blog, and in the blog, the Holy Spirit spoke to her and said to her, you need to see my peace descend over the people that you're with. They don't have to agree, because her family, they're all Christians and they're all in different places. Some of them are not Christians. But after she found this from the Lord, it was a nugget, they were able to sit around the table, and she felt the peace of God over the table of her family. So not looking at the differences, but looking at what's the same. And the thing is that we are all the same. We are all God's children, and he loves us all. We who are believers, who grab a hold of the reality of who Jesus is and carry him, we have a greater power and a greater favor. Otherwise, why do it? Why bother going through all the suffering? Getting your flesh cremated on that cross. Anyway. The discerning heart has been taught by the Lord. And when it comes in contact with spiritual truth, we want that discerning heart. When it comes in contact with spiritual truth, it receives knowledge. I have had so many confirmations and affirmations about these truths. If I took the time to tell you what happened, it would take all the time that I want to share, so I'm not going to. But I will tell you one thing. Somebody sent me an article, which I read by one of my favorite men, James Gall. And after I wrote this message and received it from the Lord, I read this message about, we need discerning. We need to be discerning. It just brought such a confirmation. Although the Lord was talking to me not about the gift of discernment, although he was talking about that. He was talking about how discernment operates in our lives as believers. And that's what I'm going to be sharing today. What one's hidden or a mystery, the Spirit reveals to a discerning heart. I got the scriptures. Did we get the scriptures? Romans 16:25, 1 Corinthians 2:7, Ephesians 3:9, Colossians 1:26. You need to take notes or get the CD, because you need this information. You need the reality of this spiritual knowledge and understanding under your belt, so you can move in the power of the name of Jesus, which is what you want to do. All right, discern, what does it mean? It means to take apart, investigate, look into, to sift, to dissect, discriminate, inquire into, scrutinize, distinguish, differentiate, or perceive. The gift of discernment, which I talked about already. The gift of discernment will give you the source of what is operating and what it is that's operating. And again, God has not given you a spirit of fear, but he's given you a spirit of power and love and a sound mind. So you don't have to be afraid when you're discerning, because God will give information to you so that you can pray according to his will. That's the bottom line. So I'm talking about the ability to understand and perceive deep in our spirits what is the truth. Discernment in your studying the scriptures and learning, reading, meditating, contemplating, the discernment is what causes the understanding to go into your inner being. When you discern something, and the Holy Spirit is the only one that can give you that understanding. He's the only one, and it's his work that he pulls those truths as you're reading them and meditating on them. And I always have a word in my heart. I always have a word in my mind. I always have something moving in my spirit because I have chosen that. A lot of people don't, and that's fine. They don't have to. But for me, it's my life. It's my breath. Even if I'm not sitting in a contemplative place, if I'm in the grocery store, I'm taking care of my grandchildren or visiting, whatever it is I'm doing, there's always a word focusing and moving in my spirit. The other day, my kids came and the girls came and Elaine came and everybody was running around. Thank God it was nice out there. They're bigger and they're running everywhere. Can't just give them a toy and let them sit in the car. And I didn't read the word before, but I wake up in prayer and shower, whatever. And at one point I opened my Kindle and I was looking at it and just to get a word. Just something, just like a little piece of food there for my spirit, man. Sarah said, "What are you looking at?" I said, "I'm reading the word." And she smiled because, my girls know. They know. And my sons know. And you know. Who God is in me and who God is in you. So you have to really understand that the full and rich truth is not on the surface. It's not, I'm going to read, "I will enter his gates with thanksgiving." It's, "I will enter his gates. I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart." Until that entering in is inside of you and you actually enter in. It's not easily accessed by the casual observer. The deep truths of God for which we are yearning must be spiritually discerned. If somebody does not know Jesus, they will not be able to discern the rich truths of God. They just won't. They may know, maybe a good person and they're following godly principles, but to really know God, they need to be with Jesus. They need to connect with Jesus. That's 1 Corinthians 2:10. The deep truths of God are taken apart and investigated in the spirit of the believer, under the tutelage of the Spirit of God who dwells in the believer. There were so many different moments yesterday where I was just asking God for the wisdom. What do you want me to say? Even I went upstairs with my future sister-in-law and I was cutting up fruit and we were talking. And by the time we finished, she was sobbing and crying. And she even said something about my niece. And, and this is what she said twice. "Well, I know that, you don't agree with blah, blah. And I know you don't." I didn't say a word. "Well, I know, So I looked at her and I said, "I only know that she went out with a man that really damaged her." I said, "And people who have serious wounds, they do some crazy things sometimes, don't they?" And she looked at me and she smiled. Then she realized that I was not judging. I was observing and understanding the reality. And it opened the door for her to share her deep hurt and her deep wounds. And there was a healing that came forth. And I was able to share some things with her about my brother, which was good. So that's what you want to be able to do. You want to be able to impart the living God wherever you go. And I wasn't standing on soapbox and preaching the gospel to everybody. I was living it and breathing it and pouring it into every person that I met. This is my family. And as a result, I saw it popped up on my phone this morning that they all are now, all of my nieces and my girls are all on a chat together, a text chat. So everything that happened yesterday was, that's the fruit of what happened, is that they all felt loved enough together to, and they're going to be talking to each other and sending each other pictures. I think it's just an amazing, that's a miracle. That's a miracle. Okay. So who's the tutor? There you go. Somebody's listening. A discerning heart is taught directly by the Lord. Isaiah 54:13, John 6:45. Proverbs, this is the scripture that I memorized and meditated on for 6 weeks to get this message. Proverbs 18:15, the heart of the discerning acquires knowledge. The ears of the wise seek it out. And what happens is wherever you go, you're going to hear. You're going to, that's God. You look down at the flower. Oh, sometimes he'll just tell you, just say something to you. And he's like, the things that flow. Now listen, this is the truth. The things that flow from Christ are of a better quality and substance than the things that originate in the worldly realm. Have you found that to be true? I mean, I ate this fruit salad yesterday and it was bursting in my mouth. It was so tasty and so fresh and so good. I believe that that's the way that the fruit is going to be in heaven. It's just going to be amazing. The things that originate in the worldly realm do not carry the substance of Christ. It's a thinking. It's a way of looking at things. It's a way of existing and moving. God uses the same concept when he's declaring that his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. His ways are higher than our ways. Isaiah 55, 8 and 9. 1 Corinthians 2, 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God. We have received the spirit which is of God. That's why you need to be a believer. You need to receive the spirit which is of God. And you know, it's not for you to judge where somebody is in their walk. You are just supposed to be the one that can implement the next step for them, possibly. Either by your loving them or discerning what's going on in their lives. And be able to maybe drop a seed. There were seeds of the Lord. At one point I was sitting there eating and I looked in this room and there were seeds all over, all in the heavenlies, just filled with seeds. And they were all dropping on everybody. It was beautiful. It really was such a gift. I even got 10 laps in this huge Olympic pool, but it was wonderful. So we have received the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us by God. So we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Ephesians 4:22 and 24. Even my next day's devotional was a scripture about taking off, it's from Colossians, take off the old man. You're putting off the old man, you're putting on the new man, which is created in the image of God. That new man that you rise up into as a believer was created to look like God. So we have the mind of Christ, right? The new man has the mind of Christ. Thank you, Elizabeth. Ephesians 4:22. I know I'm looking at you, so you're all looking at me, most of you. Ephesians 4:22-20. There's going to be a test at the end. No. Ephesians 4:22-24. That you put off concerning the former conduct. This is in Ephesians. The old man which grows corrupt. Now, if you see somebody going down a corrupt road, you know where they're going to end up, right? More corrupt. So you want to be the one to, you know, put a little shove so maybe they'll get off that corrupt road. And you know that people who are walking in the darkness, they are still looking for the light. They are. Even if they're on a dark path, they really want the light. The old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. And be renewed in the spirit of your minds. So here, not just be transformed by renewing of your mind. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Your mind has a spirit of its own. It's called your will. And that's what you have to surrender. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. It's the same concept that I read in Colossians 1. God speaks the same thing over and over and over again. That's what's so amazing when you read the word, because it's always the same beautiful mercy that he pours out. So we need to be delivered in the realm of our thought processes. Now listen, when Solomon asked for help, he asked for wisdom, he actually asked for discernment. That is the Hebrew word for discernment. It's Shama. Interesting. Jehovah Shama is the Lord is present. That's what Jehovah Shama means, the Lord is present. Shama means to listen, hear, understand, and obey. Now listen, you can't do this for someone else. You hearing me? You can't make this happen for anybody else. But you can drop seeds. And if you have children, you need to train them. And if you didn't train them, you need to pray for them. Because you need to give them the tools they need to live a godly life. And to, I always tell my kids, I want you to have the best life. The best life that God created. That's what God spoke to me when I first came to him. I want you to have the best life. I don't want you seeped in depression and fear and taking drugs and smoking and all and drinking. That's not, and it's not that all those things are what makes you unholy. It's just that those are things, I was talking to Pastor Roy about it yesterday, is that those are the things that I use to keep me so I could live in all the horror that I was in. And I was in a horrible place. So I don't do those things, not because they're so necessarily so terrible, but I have this. I have joy. I have the love of God continuously pouring himself into me. Those things, they just fell off. They just didn't have any more power over me. I didn't want them anymore. I wanted to live this. As a matter of fact, I remember getting high one day. I only really smoked pot. I didn't really get crazy. But I remember, and I was saved. I didn't know I was saved. And somebody said to me, oh, you're so happy because you're stoned. And I got so insulted. No, I'm not. I was like really mad. And then I realized I had to stop, completely stop that, because I don't want anybody else getting the glory but God for what he was doing in my life. So that was kind of the end. I mean, I got cleaned up pretty quick. Boom, I was on my face. Boom. But you know what? It doesn't matter as long as every day you are putting on the Lord Jesus Christ. You're putting on the Lord Jesus Christ. You're washing yourself in the blood. I used to tell my kids if they were not quite where they were supposed to be, I said, wash your mind of the blood. So, telling funny jokes or whatever. I said, wash your mind of the blood. And I remember Sarah saying to me one night, I didn't know what to do. I was just washing my mind in the blood. What did that mean? She says, and then she came and talked to me. She was a teenager. She says, the Holy Spirit told me that if I was having an ungodly thought, I would wash myself in the blood, my mind in the blood. But then I have to replace that thought. And that was the wisdom of the Lord speaking to her. I used to believe it or not, I used to tell them every time they did something wrong, I'd spank them when they got older. Go read Romans 6, 7, and 8. Well, go read 5, 6, 7, and 8. Because it explained the process of putting off the old man and putting on the new man and coming into that place where the Holy Spirit rules and reigns. So, Solomon, 1 Kings 3, 9. So this is what he asked for. Give your servant a discerning, understanding, obedient, and different translations. Give me a discerning mind so that I can make judicial decisions for your people and distinguish right from wrong. Otherwise, no one is able to make judicial decisions for this great nation of yours. So guess who I'm praying for? This scripture. That's right. We have a president that may not have an understanding and a discerning of what God wants for this nation. So we can pray for him, right? So that's a good scripture to pray for him. 1 Kings 3, 9. We need the ability to hear at the deepest level. And that deepest level, hearing, brings understanding. Sometimes we hear his words, but we don't understand. Discerning heart understands what the Father is saying. A hearing heart cooperates with him and works with him as he is working in us. I am your servant. Give me discernment. This is a good prayer. Give me discernment that I may understand your statutes. Psalm 119, 125. again, the things that come from the Spirit of God are spiritual discernment. Discerned. 1 Corinthians 2:14. When you understand any spiritual truth, it is because the process of discernment has occurred in your spirit. And it's the fruit of the process of discernment that is in operation in your spirit by the Holy Spirit. When that truth begins to transform your life, your actions, and your thought processes, then discernment has created understanding. Because your behavior changes. A discerning heart can turn knowledge into understanding because it is the dwelling place for the Spirit of God who understands the deep things of God. 1 Corinthians 2:10. The discerning heart can understand and live according to spiritual truth. Therefore, living in harmony with God, walking in the kingdom of heaven, I'm calling myself a spirit walker, filled with the life of Christ in the kingdom, a spirit walker in the kingdom of God. Filled with the life of Christ, and from that Christ-filled repository spills forth his word. His word spills forth out of your innermost being. There is the fountain, right? He says, out of your innermost being shall flow living rivers of water. Flow wisdom. A wellspring of wisdom is as a flowing brook. So it's that wisdom that flows out of your inner man. Words that are uplifting, instructive, encouraging, and life-giving to us and those that we meet. The heart is the wellspring of life, the source from which all else flows. Proverbs 4:23. So this is seeing. When you have discernment, you can see. See with spirit eyes, the eyes of your understanding enlightened. And then when you look at the earth, you will see the Spirit. You will see what God is doing, and you will be able to participate and co-labor with them. That's really what the desire is. I'm going to talk a little bit about acoustics. You know, being a musician, acoustics means a lot to me. What I hear, how the sound of what I'm singing and playing is around me, and, you know. The acoustics of your heart improve daily as you seek the Lord. You become more finely tuned. It's like a radio. I was listening to the news the other day on 1010 Winds, and there was this horrible crackling in the background. And I listened to her it was like 2 seconds, and I went to 880 because I didn't want to hear that crackling. The same thing with your heart. You need to keep it clean. You need to be confessing your sins every day and getting your heart clean so you can hear. Acoustics is the qualities that determine the ability of an enclosure to reflect sound waves in such a way as to produce distinct hearing. If a structure does not have the proper shape or dimensions, or if it's cluttered with objects that absorb or redirect sound waves, sounds will not be distinct. So you have a responsibility to keep the acoustics of your heart in a place of being able to receive within its structure the words of life. A receiver with a high sensitivity is one that is tuned to only one frequency. For us is undivided focus to his living voice. Undivided focus to his living voice. Selectivity is the ability of the receiver to obtain signals from one station and reject signals from another station operating on a nearby frequency. There's another voice that fills the spiritual sound waves, that of the deceiver. We have a deceiver who is lying to us all the time. And we have our flesh to deal with that a lot of times lies to us too. But the more that you are transformed by the renewing of your mind, the more that you walk in discernment, the more that you understand what God desires for you, the easier it's going to be for you to flow with his truths. One of the results of operating in the reality of discernment is obedience. I found these after I finished the message. Psalm 119:34 says, give me understanding or discernment. Now you remember, understanding is the fruit of the discernment moving and operating, the Holy Spirit moving and operating in your inner being. Give me understanding, and I will keep your law and obey it with all my heart. As God gives you deep understanding, obedience becomes your natural reaction. Not just a supernatural reaction, but a natural reaction. You will more automatically obey. You will automatically become the helper. You will automatically speak the truth of the word. One time I was talking yesterday and I said, I believe in Jesus Christ and I follow his commandments. So that was a prerequisite for what I was going to say. Also giving the listener the ability and, you know, to make to assess what I was saying from the place of where I am. I made a decision. I said, I made a decision a long time ago. I said, I was really a mess before I came to Jesus. I said, and he really gave me a beautiful life. And I'm grateful to him. So, you know, you could say that to somebody and it will touch that place in their heart that's hurt. Because it's hope. Psalm 119, 102, and 104. I have not departed from your laws, for you yourself have taught me. I gain understanding from your precepts. Therefore, I hate every wrong path. I hate every evil thought. I hate every evil action. I talked about this already, but I'm going to read it. The keys of David are keys to opening and shutting doors as well as binding and loosing. I'll just tell you one blanket scripture. The Lord gave this to me for someone a few weeks ago. Is we have received the spirit of adoption. We have not received the spirit of bondage. We have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. We have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but we have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry out, Abba, Father. You know, the Lord moved on me to introduce that song here. We've been talking about Abba for a long time. This is not a new thing. I found something from 2011 that I wrote about Abba, Father. God is my Abba, Father. There was a woman named Lynn Lucas that I used to minister with, and she taught me this song. Abba, Father, I receive your love. I'm not going to sing it, but it was about Abba. I came into an understanding of God being my Abba, and that caused me to be able to release my parents from what they did or didn't do. Because, you know, my parents were just who they were and where they were at, and they raised me, and they did a good job, took us to church every Sunday, but there was nobody in the church that knew Jesus. There was no, we had a Halloween party and put goblins and things, you know, in the basement. It's like, this is the church. What? There was one lady there who was born again who shared with me that she sinned every day and had to get help. And I looked at her, but you know, it touched me. Somewhere inside there, I realized that I was a sinner too. The gospel is very simple. You do not have to make a big elaborate. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. I was able to say to somebody yesterday, you know, we need to be reconnected with our Creator. That's the key. Now, so I know there'll be a time that I'll be able to say to them, Jesus is the key to reconnect. Okay, the keys of David are keys to opening and shutting doors as well as binding and loosing. Did I finish that scripture? We have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but we have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry out, Abba, Father. We can take authority over the bondage of fear and loose the spirit of adoption. Binding and loosing. We have these realities within our being. We are able to bind and loose evil spirits. Hearing God's voice in the midst of our Jesus-focused praise and worship, being aware of what is happening around us at the moment, will enable us to access the heavenly realm and to exercise the power of God. And then we can move, led by the Spirit, and begin to prophetically declare his will with power. That's a prophetic anointing. The prophetic anointing in worship. It happens every week. Pastor Roy and I sing and worship and prophetically loose God's word, whatever it is he's telling us over you guys, and you are participating. Some of you are talking and sharing the things that God has given you in the midst also. That's the reason why we come together. Don't forget that we are coming here every week to do damage to the enemy's camp and to pray for one another, stand together in worship, so that we all can remain on the path of glory. So, it's pretty early still. So, if it was early enough, I felt to sing this little song and let you take a few minutes right now to focus on the presence of God that fills you and surrounds you. He's here. I'm rereading a book by this woman who was caught up. She was sick in the hospital, very powerful believer, strong believer, got caught up during the night instead of sleeping with the Lion of Judah that came to her as a lion. And he put her on his back and he traveled with her all over the world. And it's a pretty amazing book. It's called The Lion of Judah. And I'm rereading it again because the truths and the reality of what she was doing as she was riding around with the Lion of Judah were very, very pertinent. She was flying around. He was showing her all the different churches, showing her who and what they were doing and how they were doing it, and so she could have a deeper understanding of worship. So one of the truths that she read, that she shared in the book that Jesus told her, is that his DNA is in the air. 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 If you need a physical touch, his DNA is in the air. If you need a mental adjustment, his DNA is in the air. If you need your emotions brought into check, his DNA is in the air. I heard my sister Karen declaring prophetically that her daughter was going to be pregnant within 2 years. So obviously, hopefully, she was expecting her to be married to. And I heard her say it. She was looking at my daughter, Ari. She said, within 2 years, I'll be taking care of Deanna's baby. That is the work of the Holy Spirit. Things that she has been moving and working in her life that she would be grateful. She decided that she would start thanking God for what's going on in her life instead of letting that bitter root consume her. So we need to be quiet and let the fact of his powerful presence take deep root in us. In the inner sanctuary, take a position of worship. Deliberately focus your mind on God's word and the truth contained therein, which embodies Christ in you. And which Christ embodies in you, his word. And allow him to think his thoughts in your being. Again, God's thoughts are not our thoughts. His thoughts are much higher. And all of the but, that's, you need to just bring that to the altar and give it to him. Because that doesn't help. That doesn't help your man to be in a place of, your new man to be in a place of rest. That causes doubt and anxiety and worry and fear and disease. Listen for his voice. I'm going to say, Abba, I belong to you and I have the mind of Christ. I'm just going to sing this little song. The first time I heard it, I just loved it. I was at a conference and I sing it here and there as God speaks it to me. So close your eyes. I think we could focus on, Abba, I belong to you. I have the mind of Christ. Or if something that's in your spirit right now that God has given you, you can focus on that. It doesn't matter. Lord, I bind the spirit of bondage and I loose the spirit of adoption. And I thank you that your DNA is in the earth and your DNA is in this room and that we can contact you and you can contact us because of the name of Jesus and because of the power of your blood. Oh, Jesus, will you take me past the noise? Take me to the place where I can rest. The quiet is the place I hear your voice. The quiet is the place where I can rest. Quiet is the place I love the best. Speak to me. Speak to me. Speak to me. Speak to me. Oh, Jesus, will you take me past the noise? Take me to the place where I can rest. The quiet is the place I hear your voice. The quiet is the place I love the best. Speak to me. Speak to me. Speak to me. Speak to me. And finish this at home or use it. One of the words the Lord has been speaking in my heart about the retreat and about us as a body is that humility is the beginning of ascension. I'm going to have coffee.